Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everybody, welcome. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today is Friday and we are continuing our discussion on magnetic connections versus celestial and also taking your calls for on-air readings. We do have some callers in the queue. Callers, we're going to be getting to your calls shortly, so please do wait because we take callers in the order that they are received. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. For those of you who have not called in and are listening, press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. What else? Join us on Facebook, on Twitter. Those accounts are linked here under our Blog Talk Radio profile on our homepage. 562-596-7818 is the number to call for more conversation after the show. So let's review, Neil,
okay. What
we talked about on Wednesday. So a magnetic someone who gravitates toward a more magnetic personality is going to be more interested in the things of the earth, focused on material or even, you know, relationships, things of the earth. Those that are celestial are going to be more connected to angels, guides, spirits, more concerned with their spiritual path, and that's going to be the guiding force in those people's lives.
Correct. And there's nothing shameful about being a magnetic personality. I mean, a magnetic personality can develop spiritual matters. It's just that their drive and their main concern is about matters of the earth. It's hard to escape that. So the majority of us have magnetic personalities. We're driven by relationships and home and employment and our creative aspects, which puts us more or less on a magnetic level. Very few of us are celestial in nature. There are those that are, basically. And you can kind of see who those people are because they just don't really care too much about the world. They might have some sense of concern about it, and they participate in activities involving the earth, but they're basically just of a celestial nature. They don't really involve themselves in anything but celestial knowledge and investigation. So a lot of them are seers and prophets and priests and people who just are very solo in life, but they don't really... their solo journey isn't like they're mountain climbers or they have a quest to explore the lost treasures of Earth. They're more or less people like perhaps like Saint John of Revelation, who
does isolation really need to be a part of someone who's on the celestial quest life? I mean, there are couples who are celestial couples that are not on solo journeys. Obviously, they're on a dual journey.
It all depends on how you determine isolation. No, not every hermit is of a celestial nature, and not every celestial person isolates themselves. The isolation occurs in consciousness. It occurs in the sense that there is a direct link to something higher, and one's energy and focus and vibration is directed towards that.
That rather than, yeah. So yeah, like when we get into the tribal mentality, because I mean, you know, I think we were discussing this the other day, tribal people that are more into a group mentality or identifying with others, you know, be it commonality and location or likes and dislikes or, you know, politics. About the celestial person, I mean, is the celestial person basically not a tribal character? I would say but yet then there's going to be principles that people might attach to that
tribal
bring people together.
Is to maintain the stability of the tribe, which is earthly, and there's tribal customs, and there's a sense that you keep continuing the position of the tribe. When you get a tribal energy, well, let's take an extreme example. That guy that had his group and they all took that dose of medicine and they left.
Oh, you mean Guyana? You Jim Jones?
No. There was another guy with the white hair.
Heaven's Gate? Are you talking about that one?
I forget his name.
But anyway, it's the same. They're all kind of the same type of...
You know, they believe that they're all going to go up into a celestial spaceship together. They
I think it was
together.
Heaven's Gate, wasn't it, like in the 2000s? You're talking about the guy with white hair?
I can't remember his name, but...
Okay, well...
But when you get into an idea that there are sects that... SECTS. That provide... That they don't really think about their placement on the Earth. It isn't about continuing the energy of the Earth as much as that they're all in a spontaneous tribal sense going to leave the planet together. Now, that's an extreme example. But there are elements that... where there are certain sects that promote the attitude of continuing into another realm, that this placement on Earth isn't important. When we look at some of the extremists, some of the political extremists and their groups, and believe that when you die, you just go to heaven, and that you live to die, you sacrifice yourself for a higher cause. And as a group, you do that. Well, there's a little bit of a contradiction in there, because a lot of these extremist groups also want to take over the world and rule the world. So there's a dichotomy within that framework of thinking. But when we have a truly spiritual group that live a life, but their life is devoted to the afterlife and the study of their afterlife, and they're not violent,
like cloistered. I mean, I don't mean to be, you know, picking any specific religious group, but like cloistered nuns, people that devote themselves to spirit. I mean, they do some service, of course, in that devotion. But they basically dedicate their lives to praying, and you know,
they're governed by certain rules and regulations while they're on the planet, and they have certain devotional or rituals that they have to work through as they live. But their whole attitude, their whole energy of their existence is based on the afterlife.
Right. So that is a tribal, I mean, somewhat tribal group, but it's geared toward something that is other than the planet, that is higher than the planet. So it's kind of a strange dichotomy.
To some extent, you could use that word, although
tribal
comes from a sense of primitive energy.
Exactly.
And this is more on an elevated sense of religion or
right.
spirituality, that a lot of tribal energies and groups will express about the gods and the celestial and the stars and different things like that, and belief patterns about energies in the earth that are not earthly. So you do have that suggestion, that ambiguity within there. But I think we're talking about the sheer definition of what it is to live for another world, not to live for the earth.
You know, on that topic, though, I would surmise that people that are, you know, on that kind of final quest, in a group situation and putting their energy towards spirituality and not something of the earth, probably that group came from a past life, tribal energy.
I mean, you know, there's a mixture of energy. So a lot of magnetic human beings that are connected to the magnetism of the planet can still be spiritual. We're not suggesting that there isn't a spiritual essence in the human condition. There absolutely is and should be. We're just talking about the sheer distinction of those individuals that deprive, not even deprive, but they just don't engage in the activities of the world. They're not concerned about the movies, the music, how
right.
much money you're making,
but
where you're going to live. They just, that's not their concern. They're almost otherworldly.
Otherworldly, I would agree. But where do the scales tip in terms of that magnetism of more of a magnetic type of personality versus celestial? Because there are people that do devote their lives to spirituality, but they are involved in the earth somewhat. They are involved in the earth. You know, they buy property. They enjoy, you know, weekends away or travel.
Well, you know,
I mean,
it's a relative. I mean, you are a human being.
Right, we're on the planet, so we're going to have to engage with the earth on some level, unless we're really, I mean.
But it comes to a matter of degree. I mean, you know, the magnetism of the earth and the, if you want to put magnetism to celestial energy and convert it to energy instead of magnetism, it forces a human being to act on different terms. So yes, if you're in the energy of looking at homes and purchasing homes and things like that, that's earthly. If you're in the energy of purchasing community property for the sake of study,
you know, those were just examples.
Yeah.
But
you see,
it's
the energy of any physical structure is also defined by the ego that put that physical structure into place. So if it's on a personal level, like acquiring homes or properties, that's more ego. If you're trying to provide a center or a study center or a community center for the purpose of a specific top study, and it does relate to spiritual matters, that's a different element, because that foundation is now directed more towards celestial light than earthly magnetic light.
Right. But there are people that do live in the earth and, you know, maybe acquire things, or even, you know, the property acquisition was just an example, Neil, but, you know, people enjoy going out to dinner, but they may still, you know, devote their life to spirituality. I mean, how,
well, you know, it's a hard factor when you're spiritually based. You could take simple bread and bless it and be inspired. So it's the attitude of not so much what you eat, but what you believe in, what you eat, and what you aspire that food is and how it comes to be. So the pure examples of what you said, consumption, can be in the idea that we are blessed in terms of how we value what we eat. And that could be as simple as bread, as much as some, you know, elaborate French dish.
Okay. You know, it brings to mind another topic that we could discuss. You know, people often, there are many people that believe that once you transcend the planet, that you group together with other souls and that there are soul groups. And it's kind of based on an earthly idea or that tribal mentality, but it would be a good topic. Because
yeah, well,
do people really group together and congregate? In
there,
the, not people, but souls.
Souls, yeah.
So, yeah, but which are, you know, really valid and which aren't.
Yeah.
It would be a good topic to discuss, but I think we should get to some of our callers. Let's take 402 first. Who's this? Are you there, caller? 402.
Yes, I am.
Hi, who's this?
This is Patricia Donlinger.
Yeah, don't say your last name on the air.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, you don't want to do that because, you know, we'd like to give our callers anonymity. What's your location, Patricia?
I live in Nelson, Nebraska.
Okay. And your birth date?
1951.
Okay. 21, 11, 21, 27, 9?
Yeah.
Okay. And what brings you to the show today?
My daughter had listened to your program, and she sent me the invitation. She is very taken by the help that you had given her, and so she just wanted us to share in learning what you have to tell us.
All right. So Patricia, is your daughter Melinda?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, I put that together.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. I'm so glad she referred you to the show, Patricia.
Well, I am too.
Yeah.
I'm really interested.
Great. Have you ever had a reading before?
No, I have not.
Okay. So just a couple of things. I don't know if you have a specific question or just maybe you want something general.
Just something general, yes.
Okay, just a couple of things. Your master number is 9 by 27. So your life goes in cycles of 9 from birth to death. And in fact, at the age of 27, in 1978, there would have been a change for you, Patricia. Can you remember what happened in 1978?
That was the year that my younger brother committed suicide.
Wow, that was a dramatic change. I'm so sorry about that.
Yes, it was. I felt a lot of guilt and responsibility because I was the last person from our family that had been to visit him. He was in a psychiatric ward, and I had raised the question because he had a regular razor because he had a beard, and I was afraid that maybe that wasn't a thing that should be allowed in his room. And the doctor assured me that my brother was in no way at all suicidal. That is not the way that he died. He escaped from that ward, and he went for one last ride on his dirt bike, and then he went to his home and shot himself.
Oh, I'm so sorry. So they really made an error at the hospital. It's very... Wow.
Yes, and he had... his mental decline was very, very rapid. And he... actually, the last time that I saw him, he was curled up in a fetal position on his bed in the hospital room. And he was unable to talk.
Oh, wow. You know, it's interesting that this came up, too, because Neil, it was like in the 80s, right, Neil, that you worked in a psychiatric hospital.
Yeah.
He developed a psychodrama program at a psychiatric hospital here in California. And anyway, he has a history of that type of work in his background.
Oh.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it's a difficult position. A lot of patients have the ability to really veil their suicidal tendencies. Some of them are pretty good at it because there's something in their psyche that's able to contain that expression. And the doctor that said, well, he's not suicidal. And then your brother ultimately escapes, goes on a dirt bike ride and shoots himself at home. We had a patient that was given permission to have a leave and go home for the weekend because he was not deemed as being suicidal. And during that time, he hung himself in the garage. But you know, no one suspected that was going to happen. So there is this energy field. The fact that it occurred when you were 27, you see, what we come in with in this planet is a certain amount of, if you will, karma. And your first two numbers, 8 and 3, they add up to an 11. Now, 11 is a really strange number in numerology. And it's a Kristen and I's contention that there is a certain negative aspect to that number as well. A lot of people will say that number is very positive, and in some ways it is. But however, it also comes in with a certain amount of karmic difficulty. And for you, at when your numbers 8 and 3 add up to an 11, those two numbers in your birth date are your karmic numbers. So that 3 in your day would be like on a linear map, that would be about when you're 27 years old. Because that's your karmic number when you add everything up, and then your brother commits suicide. You were the last one to see him, because I do believe you probably had a past life with your brother. Also, the name Vince or Vincent is coming up, and I don't know if there was ever a name, even casual, distant names of that in anywhere in your life or anyone around you.
No.
Okay, well, the name Vince or Vincent keeps coming up. So let me ask you another question. Was there anyone talented in painting, an artist? Anybody do any drawing?
My daughter, Melinda, is very talented, and so is her daughter, Michaela. She's currently in college, and she's received scholarships for her artwork.
So that's it.
So what happened to this scenario, if you will, with a little bit of imagination here? The Vincent, when you said no, I went to Vincent Van Gogh, who was an artist, of course, and ultimately, they say, committed suicide. So from the energy of that, Patricia, I got the feeling that maybe the Vincent was supposed to represent two aspects, suicide, one, and then the idea that there's an artist in the family. Now, they're two separate things. The idea that it's suicide could be a casual energy coming from your brother that he's shouting out that he represents that name in some course of action. The other part is that he's validating the talent of your daughter and maybe your granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a certain aspect in there that's going on that's starting to open up a door of some kind of information.
Yes. Oh, I feel... I've been comforted. I've actually, I know that he's alive somewhere else, and that I feel his spirit with me quite often, and so I don't feel disconnected from him at all.
That's great. Well, it opens up a little bit of discussion, for the show today. And so we're going to get to our other callers, but we invite you to always come back if that will be of interest to you and further our discussion.
Yeah, tell Melinda we said hello and thank her for referring you, Patricia. We appreciate it.
Oh, yes, I will. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. And if Patricia has further questions, 562-596-7818. So that was nice. It's always nice when a spirit comes in. Okay. I'm going to bring on Donna, who just dropped but came back. Maybe some phone trouble.
Hi,
is this Donna?
Kristen. Yeah, hi. How are you two?
Good. How are you? And funny that Donna is also a 27-9-422-54. What's going on, Donna?
Well, I'm not in a relationship, but I am getting out into groups. I've joined a Buddha group, and I love the teachings, and it's just very profound and taking very good care of myself, meditating every day, and I wanted to know the relationship was coming in, and the job I had, the woman was taking care of her. She hired people for less money, but my friend and I that do it, we think she's going to hire us back, so I wanted to know what your feelings were on these topics, please.
Okay, well, you just started your sixth cycle of the number 9 at age 54. So there should be, I think last time we talked to Donna, didn't we say something about a relationship coming in?
Yeah.
She's got that broken 4 in her day, which is...
Yeah.
That 22 is not...
She's...
Great. 422, 54.
She's 54, so how old is she, you're saying?
She's... Oh, did I calculate that wrong?
63. I'm 63.
She's 63.
Yeah.
Sorry, your seventh cycle of 9. I don't know what I did. I was thinking the 54 was your age for some reason.
But
I guess I haven't completely
waked up. 9 times 7.
Yeah, it's 9 times 7. So she just hit her seventh cycle of 9.
Yeah. What what you're going, you know, you join this Buddha group. So you're actually in an area of higher celestial conversation through perhaps meditation and connecting to energies from the sixth chakra to the seventh.
Which is, pertains to her seventh cycle of nine. So she's in a spiritual.
So it goes into a spiritual cycle. So in that regard, you know, you're going to open up a whole new room of experiences that will be your journey between 63 and 72. So you're actually, for the next 9 years, this is what you're going to be experiencing. Now, for some reason, I don't know why, but I'm picking up that there's going to be some exchange of property within that 9 years. So there's an opportunity for you to sell or to acquire property.
What's your living situation? Sorry, Neil. What's your living situation right now?
I live in Santa Barbara, and I live in an apartment. I've been here.
Apartment, yeah. From memory, that's what I thought. So you're renting right now?
Yes.
Maybe
Do you have any desire to purchase property at some point, or are you just satisfied with renting?
No, actually, when I manifest the money, I will. Yes, I would. I would love to. I mean, it's very expensive here, but I'm not, you know, stopping.
Yeah, it may not be in Santa Barbara unless you know bought something very small. They're grossly overpriced out there. But there may be some opportunity for you to acquire, for that manifestation of money, and for you to acquire property of some maybe modest means, but it will be yours. By the time. Maybe within this nine-year period, maybe sooner than later, you do have your 4-2-2 is a split up 8, which means money, and the fact that you are 9, your previous lifetime you were 26-8, which suggests that there is some issues of money that you've come down to handle. So I don't know. I mean, it could be 65-66. Are you far off as we speak? Are you far off from any kind of savings that could help you acquire property?
I'm far off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of...
Dream. Huh? Oh, go on.
Oh, just before you go into that, Donna, I can't remember. Your job, are you like a nurse aide or something like that, or home health care? What you do?
Caregiver companion.
Caregiver companion. Okay. And you're still doing that type of work?
Well, I haven't for a little while. Yeah. No, I haven't.
Oh, you have not. So how are you supporting yourself?
Yeah. Well, I'm retired. You know,
you're retired.
I get my Social Security. Yeah.
It's gonna, you know, where we're trying to get to the man. And is there any source of inheritance in the future?
No,
she had for a while, and you may not remember, Neil, but there was a man she was caretaking for on the East Coast, or you were involved with that you thought might have been some kind of financial help.
Oh,
but
I know.
That's what I
promised that for 20 years, and then he forgot to do it, but that's okay. I mean, I loved him, and, you know, I always took care of him and did everything, but that's okay. Things like that happen. You know, he forgot to put
it. Well, that's a good attitude.
Well, the only, you know, yeah. Donna, the only thing that we might entertain in terms of a future premise would be that there might be a reawakening of a soul connection to another human being, a man, and there might, in that respect, be where you would acquire property through the means of being in a relationship with someone.
Right. That's what I think, too. Yeah, that's what I think. I think someone is coming in because I'm having these dreams and all, and I had a dream. They called number 9, and that's my, you know, I said, oh, that's my number. And, I won an elephant, and then another 2 dreams with my mom, who's on the other side, and we're celebrating with such joy and happiness. I mean, to have those kind of dreams, I just know something's coming in.
Well, you know, that maybe someone from the Republican Party, the mayor of Santa Barbara.
Is Santa Barbara Republican? I thought it was more liberal.
Republican.
Really?
Well, there's wealth.
We're in California.
There.
Yeah.
There's a lot of wealth out there. But, but I don't know. You know, there might be something in there. So keep your attention on anything that where, you know, for your motivation would be to help. But there might be an individual that is fairly well off, that there's a love connection, and then thereby
maybe in the spiritual group she's getting involved with, she might meet someone, you know.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
Donna.
Thank you. I love you too, and thank you very much for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome, Donna. Thank
Have
you.
A nice day.
Funny is that Donna has a 7-9 in her phone number, which is 7 cycle of 9. They actually are side by side. So maybe that's a good omen for her too.
yeah, absolutely.
Okay. 305 is our next caller. Who's this? Hello.
Hi. Nice to hear your voice, Christine and Neil.
Hi, who's this?
I think you guys are great. I love when I see you come up, I love to listen to you. And I haven't
thank
talked
you.
To you in several months. Yeah.
But we can you we to... I'm gonna pause you just for a minute because we can barely hear you. So
really?
Yeah, now that's better. I don't know what you changed.
I'm on a landline.
A landline just
here.
Right
there you go.
The receiver.
I just raised the volume.
Okay, that's a little bit better. Who is this?
My name is Eileen.
Eileen. Oh yeah, Eileen. Hi. Yes, I know who
Hi.
You are. Eileen's the artist, you know.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Hi.
Hi. So I haven't talked to you in months, and there's a lot of changes going on in my life, and I just wanted to see, cause last time you told me I was going to go through some transformations.
Okay. And I remember your master number is 5, Eileen, I believe, but I don't remember your birth date. So what is that, please?
June 28, 51.
16, 26. Wait, did I remember it right? 32, 5, right?
Isn't that my birth year? Mm-hmm. Is a 5?
Right, but your master number is also a 5 by 32. So when you add up your birth date, 6281951, it is a 32, and that's a 5 master number, which is, you know, right. I mean, you're a painter. That's the 5th chakra. Art.
Yes.
Music, writing.
Very talented.
Yeah, she's a really good painter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're picky.
Yeah.
So that's a compliment.
So you were, well, there's two things going on. One, there's a male figure kind of at the parameter of your energy field, either he's entered or he's about to enter.
I want the about. It hasn't come in yet. That's what I feel very calm and very peaceful and very open to some big energy to come into my life right now. I'm like,
and you went through a divorce, Eileen, right? When was that?
Say it again.
You went through a divorce recently.
Oh, yeah, July 2015.
2015. So that was 2 years ago, which would have been the doubling of her 32, right? 64.
Yeah.
At 64, now you're going to be 66 in June.
I can't recall 1983 what your big event was.
Boy, I'm going to write all this stuff down. 1983.
When you were about 32?
Well, I had some epiphanies when I was 30, and I took off and started making a life for myself where I live because I had to figure out a way to make money. And I could have started my card company then. I'm not sure. 83, 84, I met somebody, but I think my dad died then, and he left.
Okay.
Gave me some money, and he talked to me when I deposited it because it was on his birthday.
Mm.
So that was his reinforcing me that I was on my path.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Father died around that time in a card company, like a greeting card company?
Yeah, I started my own business, my card company, yeah, with the money that he gave me. Before he died.
Before he died. I don't know. In some respects, something is floating around regarding a $20,000 to $25,000 figure. The other part of this is that this person that we're trying to manifest, at some point he was very much involved in surfing, and there's a certain element of water around him.
She's in Florida, I think. So
she is?
Yeah. So
that makes very much sense in my life. Yes, go on.
Yeah.
I love it.
And so this man, he's very spiritual about the ocean. To him, it's just not surfing. It's his connection with the waves and the rhythm and just the power of the sea. I guess a lot of surfers regard the ocean with a sort of sacred mysticism, if you will. A lot of them just enjoy the sport. But this man has a certain higher thinking about that surfing is more than just a sport. It's a connection with some of the most powerful forces in our planet. And just to be able to touch that energy is how he thinks and feels. And he still carries that around with him. It looks like he's got one of those little Jeeps that, you know, there's no top to it. It's like a Jeep that you drive around. It looks like he had one of those at one point. The name Carl, for some reason, comes in. It could be a past name that you were involved or knew. Did you ever know a Carl in your lifetime?
Not really. No.
Okay, so if it's not, then there might be the added energy of a Carl around this person may be part of the landmark system.
But she said not really. Did you know any Carl? I may not feel significant to you.
It wasn't me. I think he passed. It was somebody that a girlfriend of mine had as a boyfriend.
Right. But see, it doesn't matter if it was significant to you or not. It's a vibration that's being perceived. So even if it's like, well, he was on the periphery, it may be important.
It could be linked to the girlfriend.
Yeah.
Is the girlfriend currently married?
No.
Do you
she's
still
been
talk
divorced
to her?
For years. Once every couple of months I call her, and she's in California. Yeah.
She's in
California.
$20,000 to $25,000 figure, did that ever amount to anything in your past experience?
No, I wish. That's a lot of good money, but no, not that amount ever coming into me as a purchase or me buying anything for that amount, not yet.
Or a savings or a salary?
Nothing.
You know, what I'm gauging in this area of a little bit of mystery here might be centered around the person coming in.
Maybe he'll give you $25,000.
You know,
help me make $25,000.
Yeah, are you selling paintings? I mean, how much? What's the value of the paintings you have for sale right now?
I'm working on a commission on my table. It's $3,500 right now. It's a watercolor.
$3,500.
Yeah, unframed.
Those
I have $7,000 on my wall, but not to the level that you're pulling in from me, which is a beautiful gift. But
there was never a year when you made that. Forgive me for probing, but was there never a year when you made that amount as an artist?
No.
Then this, you know, what happens? This is a reading of mystery. I think it comes in by way of this person coming in.
Okay.
You know, you're currently what? You're currently 65?
Five.
She's 65.
Yeah.
Same age.
Your master, so you're currently 65. You've gone on 13 cycles of your life. 13 cycles. There may be, you know, and I was born the same year as you. There may be a there could be something coming in, I don't know if I would push it before June, but sometime within 9 months from June to 9 months going forward. there could be, this person could be coming in. You've got to look for this. He doesn't mean that he's surfing now. He might be about 68, 67, 68. I don't know. He still appreciates the ocean and everything. Maybe he does surf. I don't know. But there was a surfing element behind him. And the, I don't know, do you ever show your work at marketplaces or little shows?
Oh, yeah. Right now it's too hot. But, yes, I do a lot of festivals during the year. And in the past 2 months, I met a Charles who is involved with the ocean and a photographer, and he has a business. I think he's younger than me. And he wants to start working with my art. Mm-hmm. But he loves the ocean. He's a Pisces.
Yeah, that's a good sign. It's sort of a good sign.
But it's like a marker in the road towards someone else. You're probably not going to get involved with the Charles necessarily.
Right.
Was there any romance feeling between you and Charles?
No.
Yeah, so it's a marker.
No.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a romantic partner that is also business-minded and can facilitate connections for me.
This guy drives this, it sounds like he looked like this guy was pretty well off. So he had some material advantage to his essence. So he might just be the ticket. Let's see what happens, Eileen. It's going to be somewhere between now and 9 months henceforth. So we just have to kind of wait and see on that one.
Yeah, let us know what happens.
I will. Yeah, okay. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And your paintings are wonderful. Let the people know how they can look at your paintings.
Oh, that's right. Oh, thank you. My website is Eileen, E-I-L-E-E-N. Second name is S for Sam, EITZ.com. So it's EileenSites.com.
Yeah.
Sites is a composer, actually. He composed like student violin concertos.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know who that is, but anyway, same name. Okay, Eileen. They're great
paintings.
I
will
paintings.
Let you guys know. I will
Please
let
do.
You know when the connection, when this person I've been waiting for my whole life.
Yeah, we hope so. Well, yeah, definitely keep in touch.
I will. Thank you. Appreciate your show very much.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that comment. And now, I know I said earlier we don't ask people to give their last names, but of course, when they're promoting themselves, we do. But we, you know, generally, if people want to remain, anonymous. So it's a different thing. Okay, just want to clarify. All right, 218 is our next caller.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good. How are you? Who's this?
It's Samora. I haven't called you guys in a long time. My birthday is
8/2/92. I believe you're a 31/4, if I'm remembering correctly. I'm not adding it up, but I do remember that. Hi, Samora. Wow.
Hi.
Blast from the past.
Yes, for sure.
So what's new?
A lot of things, actually. Since the last time I talked to you guys, I moved back home from Idaho, and I have a new boyfriend, and I'm going to school, and I have a kitten. Yeah.
We have kittens. So you were in school to be a social worker, right?
Yes.
Okay, and are you still doing that?
Yes, I am.
And I remember you were trying to get a job at Kohl's. Am I remembering this correctly? Were you trying to get a job at Kohl's?
I think it was at Kohl's or something. I don't know.
Anyway, I mean, I remember weird things. I mean, it's probably been like 3 or 4 years since we talked to her.
Yeah, mine's fading and yours getting better.
Well, anyway, mine used to be really, really good. But anyway, we all age. So what can we help you with today, Samora?
I'm 24. I'm going to be 25 pretty soon.
25 pretty soon. All right.
Yeah, I guess I want to I have been thinking about starting my – I want to do, like, a little crafty thing, like, to sell, like, some stuff that I make, but I'm not sure where to go from there.
Okay.
I had a lot of loss this end of 2016 into 17. So mm-hmm. I'm just wondering if that's done for now or what's going on.
So she's 24, which means she's on her, you're going to be 25. So you just started your sixth cycle of four, right? In August, which, you know, that's part of the loss probably, you know, going through that change.
Yeah.
But she's before, I mean, she hasn't turned 31 yet. She hasn't reached her karmic age. So,
you know, I don't know. I think you said craft in terms of baking.
Did you?
Food. Is that what you said?
Well, I'm trying to figure out what I want to do, what kind of craft it could be baking too, even.
So you're trying to figure out like a creative outlet for yourself?
Yeah, something that I enjoy doing and that I can make a little money off of it.
Well, you know, you have to, it all depends, Samora. If you're going to do crafts or baking, you have to come up with something that you could produce in a massive way and make money on it, and where you have a continuation of sales. So that's a big project. It's not, mm-hmm. if you're going to do something on the side where you have a little brownies or you do something crafty and you make, you know, 40 bucks a week or something, you know, it all depends on how you want to promote yourself and to what extent you want to mass produce your product and make money.
It's
a big job there.
She's going to school, though, to become a social worker. So I don't know if that's a total – you're not looking for a career in arts, are you, necessarily?
No.
So this is just something to, you know, to get your creative juices
flowing. I don't think there's any great mystical note behind your craft making. If you want to make something and put it out there and, you know, if you want to make a couple of bucks, it gives you a little bit of spending money – pick what you're most talented at and promote yourself online or locally and sell it. I don't think there's any great message in terms of that. You know, you're not going to become Mrs. Fields or anything. Your work is going to be actually.
But maybe she'll be famous, Amos.
I actually met Mrs. Fields before she became big. She was handing out free cookies on the street in front of a store or front. And I tasted the cookie and I said, you're going to become famous. Now that was a different situation. And now
we have a lifetime supply of cookies.
Yeah.
Don't you wish?
Yeah. We have a whole field.
Now I have to bake. Now I have to bake.
But the only other thing I'm getting the name, first I'm getting a D sound like Dorothy or Donna. And I'm also getting the name Mark. Now, I don't know where that's coming from yet, but have you ever known a Donna or a Mark?
I mean, maybe like an acquaintance, maybe met through someone briefly, but I don't, nothing that sticks out.
Donna
does ring a bell, though. Donna's bugging me.
Well,
all right.
Okay. So think about that later. But in terms of your losses, was this a relative that crossed over?
Yes.
Was it a grandmother?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I'm getting a static from her, that Donna Mark. She could be saying something else to me, and my brain is converting it to the word Donna Mark. She could be saying something else, but the attitude of the energy that crossed over was grandmother.
Yep. That was my grandma, Bernice.
What's her name?
Bernice.
Yeah. I don't know. You might, Donna Mark, I don't know yet. I'd have to really think about if that's part of her dialogue, but I will say that the energy from the other side is your grandmother.
Yep, that is her.
Yeah.
Anything else, Neil, before we
the only thing that I'm seeing is a bouquet of flowers with a bee, a very nice looking healthy bee on the flower.
A letter bee or an actual bee?
The bee. Did she have a garden? Did she have bees? Did she, anything there?
She had, when I was little, she had lots of flowers on the side of the house that were really pretty. They're hollyhocks. And I was thinking of getting a tattoo of them on me because they're on my grandma.
Ah, that's probably why that's
okay. Well, Samara, your grandmother's coming in, and she might be stretching out to that memory and then connecting it currently to you. But she's actively around you. She's hearing us. We don't have time to go into any great depth because of the nature of our show. But yeah, she's on the other side. That's the message.
Okay, Samara. Well,
okay.
Keep in touch, I guess.
All right. Thank you so much.
Nice to hear from you. Thanks. Okay. Last caller, 216.
Oh. Hi, Christian. Hi, Neil. This is Patricia from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hi.
Hi. How are you all?
Hi, thanks. How are you?
Good. I want to find out, I keep seeing in my third eye, and this has been happening a bit frequent. First, it's a police officer, a young guy, blonde hair, and I don't know him. But he's
a
just
young
like
guy with blonde hair.
Yeah, short blonde hair, probably in his 20s, maybe probably 30s, maybe. And this has been, I've been seeing him for, oh goodness, for maybe a month or so. And then there's another police officer, one who's from here, that works here in the Cleveland area. I believe he might be a commissioner or a chief of police, and I don't know him either. But I'm just trying to get, I don't know if I should pray for them or what, or what are there to be in my life or what.
You don't know, say that last part again.
I don't know them. I don't know if I'm to pray for them or there or what are we going to be doing in each other's lives or what? I don't know.
I hope that's not P-R-E-Y.
What?
She said.
Oh, P-R-E-Y. Ha, ha, ha.
No, P-R-A-Y.
If you were pray, then it might, you might be getting a moving violation ticket from one of them.
Possible. Huh?
Do you drive?
I don't have a car yet, but I know how to drive.
Uh-huh. Do you frequent any kind of social gathering where the community is involved?
I used to go to a drumming circle, but I stopped that for about 3 months. You know, just other things coming up. And I go to this class. Well, I just finished my math class in college here. I mean, but that's not social. That's, you know.
What you're looking at in your peripheral vision, in your third eye zone, in terms of these police officers, I believe they're spirit guides. I don't know if they're so much policemen, but sometimes guides will manifest as a certain form of energy. And I think they're what you're picking up on are guides, G-U-I-D-E-S.
Oh,
and they're
right.
Patrolling your energy. So there could be a sense that someone's going to be connected to you, and it may have some impact in your heart, meaning that there might be a heart connection, meaning that love might be right around the corner here for you. But I don't, you know, if it's a policeman, I don't know if it's going to manifest as an actual policeman. I think you're looking at a guide, and your third eye is translating that guide as a policeman watching out for you.
So, oh, okay.
That's what I think is happening.
Okay.
So what you want to do is you want to increase, maybe you want to go back to that drumming thing if you have time. You might want to experience something in that regard. And so that might be part of what we're looking at here. Did you ever have a moving violation within your life?
No.
I don't think it's a policeman. I think it's a guide. And if you're utilizing your third eye, you might be able to take more full advantage of that, maybe by getting back to that drumming group, if you have the capacity or the interest to get back there.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Okay.
Thank
well,
you very much.
Hopefully
have a good
that
weekend.
Clarifies it. Go ahead.
Yeah, it does. Thank you. Have a good weekend, and happy Mother's Day to the mothers.
Oh, that's nice of you to say that. Yeah, Mother's Day is coming up. So happy Mother's Day to the mothers. Thanks, Patricia, for reminding us. And Neil, we're just about out of time.
Okay.
So we are back on the air on Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye. I got to go out there and